6 p.m. This is something we do every year, and we are excited to be a part of the Big and Tall show and bringing the Big Top to you this year. Children, you are dismissed to Junior Church.
I feel like Chip Gaines here. Boy, I think I'd rather follow Chosen than those kids. Loved your song. You preached one of my big points in that song today, so it's great. Isn't it wonderful when you're just not sure about things and then just watch how the Lord puts it all together? Has that ever happened to you? It's really quite amazing. Well, happy Valentine's Day. Or not. I really don't care. It's just another holiday to have to buy cards and gifts. You know? Happy Valentine's Day. There you go. I thought all that community participation there would have warmed you up for that. Today is week 16 of our 30-week church-wide journey through Believe. When we finish this biblical study together, we will have covered the 10 core beliefs of our Christian faith, the 10 core practices of our Christian faith, and the 10 core values of the Christian faith. All of it designed to help us think, act, and become more like Jesus as we live our Christian faith daily. To date, we have covered the 10 core beliefs, and now we are over halfway through the 10 core practices of our Christian faith. If you have missed any of these or wish to review them, all the messages in this series are on our website, MuhammadChristian.org. Under the Sermons tab, you'll find the Believe Sermons are in a series of its own. So you can just start right there and just go right through the Believe Sermons or go to the one that you may have missed. They are also available on CD after each service at the Welcome Center in the foyer. And now today's topic is what? Biblical community. Some might say church. A short Google search of church will reveal a lot of things, including a lot of reasons not to go to church, a lot of statistics about the overall decline in America in church attendance. One pollster made an interesting observation. He said, "It's not that less people are going to church, it's but that people are going to church less." I also discovered some interesting humor during my internet search, and you know me in humor. I discovered this story, which has absolutely no redeeming value, but it sure is funny. And maybe it will help you accept the more serious things I have to share today. It's the story of a rather old-fashioned lady, quite prim and proper, delicate and elegant in her appearance and her vocabulary. And she was planning a 2-week vacation in Florida. She wrote ahead a letter to a particular campground and asked for reservations. And she wanted to make sure that the campground was fully equipped. But not knowing quite how to ask about the toilet facilities, she didn't know what to do. However, she just couldn't bring herself to write that word toilet. So after much thought, she finally came up with the old-fashioned term, bathroom commode. But as she wrote that down, she still thought that was being a little too unrefined. So she started all over again, rewrote the entire letter, and referred to the bathroom commode simply as the BC. Does the campground have its own BC? Is what she actually wrote. Well, the campground owner was not old-fashioned in the least. And when he got the letter, he couldn't figure out what the lady was talking about. That BC really stumped him. After worrying about it for a few days, he began to show the letter to other campers. But they couldn't figure out what the lady meant either. But the campground owner finally came to the conclusion that the lady must be asking about the location of, wait for it, she must be asking about the location of the local Baptist church. So he sat down and wrote the following reply. Dear Madam, I regret very much the delay in answering your letter, but I now take pleasure of informing you the BC is located just 9 miles north of the campgrounds and is capable of seating 250 people. Oh, it gets better. I admit it's quite a distance away if you're in the habit of going regularly. But no doubt you will be pleased to know a great number of people take their lunches along and make a day of it. The last time my wife and I went was 6 years ago. And it was so crowded we had to stand up the whole time we were there. I admit it pains me very much not to be able to go more regularly. But it's surely not for lack of desire on my part. As we grow older, it seems to be more and more of an effort, particularly in cold weather. If you decide to stay at our campground, perhaps the first time you go, I could go with you. Sit with you and introduce you to all the other folks. This is really a very friendly community. Listen, while I assure you that MCC is the end of your search for a friendly church, we are not that friendly. Is going to church important? Well, it is if being the church is important. Let me give you some homework for the next 2 to 3 weeks. Write down, give it serious thought, pray about it, and then write down 2 or 3 reasons why you attend and participate in church. Now, it cannot be things like the music or the incredible preaching. True as those may be. What we're looking for is, what is your internal motivation? What gets you out of a warm bed on a cold, snowy Sunday morning to attend church? What makes you put on your clothes and come to church when everything about you says stay home? Here are some of my personal answers. I attend for corporate and public worship. Yes, I sing and pray when I'm alone. Sometimes when I just think I'm alone. But there is something about, and this, Mike, I love that part in the song. There's just something about lifting my voice with you in praise. There's something about praying with you and what I call hitching a ride on your prayers as you lift us all up in prayer. It's one of the reasons I love going to North American. Boy, it's something when you're in a crowd of 15,000 lifting your voices, all singing praises to God, isn't it? So I attend for corporate and public worship. I attend for personal encouragement. I know you pray for me and my family, for Pastor Jeff and his family, and for our leadership. I know that. But there's something about shaking your hand and giving you a hug and looking into your eyes as you genuinely ask how we're doing and then share your words of encouragement. I need that. And I attend for friendship and fellowship. Can I tell you something? I really like y'all. I really like being with y'all. And I don't just mean gathering together with you on Sunday mornings. I love doing things and being with you together. I love eating out with you. I love playing golf with you. I love eating out with you. I love going to plays and concerts with you and eating before or afterwards with you. I love going on trips with you. I love going to Branson with you and the Creation Museum and on cruises and to movies with you and eating with you. I love gathering here at church with you for potlucks and for banquets like we had last night. Oh my goodness, wasn't that great? Hey, and the food was late, but I don't know too many people noticed. We were having fun, what? Just being with each other, fellowshipping. I like y'all. I love the friendships and fellowship we share in ABF and in Oasis and in our small groups and the men's breakfast. That's eating with you. I love being silly with you at variety nights. I really like being with y'all. I attend to engage with you as we fulfill the Great Commission together. I attend so God, through others, through you, can make a difference in my life. And so God, through me, as crazy as it may sound, that God, through me, can make a difference in the lives of others. I guess that's a long way of saying this week's key idea. I fellowship with Christians to accomplish God's purposes in my life, in the lives of others, and in the world. You become who you hang out with. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. These are two of a number of catchphrases used to describe the impact of those with whom we spend the most time. The book of Proverbs is saturated with verses telling of the impact of our relationships to the development of our walk in faith. The Hebrew writer encourages us, consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together. And that doesn't mean just coming to church together. Let us not give up meeting together, as some in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day, and day is capitalized. What day is that? The day of His return. All the more as you see the day approaching. The Message translates this same passage like this. Let's see how inventive we can be. Boy, that describes this church, doesn't it? Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Not avoiding worship, worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. Biblical community is the glue holding us together. It's an avenue of opportunities to grow in favor with God and to keep our relationships right with each other. When you read Acts chapter 2, a chapter that most of you are familiar with, the others go home and read that today. But as you read that chapter in Acts chapter 2, you'll see this progression. I put that progression in your outline. First, Peter stood up and preached Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. It was such a powerful message that verse 37 says they were cut to their heart. Second, verse 38 says they were baptized. When Peter said to repent and be baptized, every one of you, that's what they did. Third, they joined a church family. Verse 41 says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Did you get that? Added to their number. When you are baptized, your sins washed away, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you begin a new life, you're added. You're not put off to the side so we can move on to the next one. You're not put on a shelf as some trophy. You're not left alone and forgotten. You are added. And then number four, they connected to a small group of fellowship where they devoted themselves to one another. They connected to a small group of fellowship, a group of fellow believers who were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayers and breaking of bread, and to fellowship. That's biblical community. So, here's why we need biblical community. Here's why we need fellowship with other believers. And again, remember, not just Sunday morning. This is great. This is throughout your daily walk, why we need fellowship with other believers. First of all, to keep our relationship with God strong. Biblical community will first keep our vertical connection, our relationship with God strong. Nothing will hold us accountable and encourage us to keep faithful as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, quite like hanging out with other Christian followers. Have you ever noticed, maybe not you, but those around you, but I'm guessing all of us at one time or another, when we're with this group of people, our behavior changes to fit in with them. Language gets a little different. Jokes get a little different. And when we're with this group, somehow we just feel that it's easier to be a better Christian with this group. Now, if that's the case, which group should you be hanging out with as a Christ follower? That helps keep our relationship with God stronger. I don't talk like that when I'm with this group. I don't enjoy and go and do the things I do with this group when I'm with this group. Then stay with this group as much as possible. Secondly, we fellowship with other believers to keep our relationship with others strong. The effect of spurring one another on towards love and good deeds is powerful. Biblical community is the optimum way to keep our horizontal relationships with each other on the right path. Fellow Christians can help us strengthen our ties to those in the church. Paul, it's been so long since I picked on you. I got to pick on you again, okay? It just amazes me to see how fellowship with other believers can change a life. When Paul Palumbo first started attending, he did so rather reluctantly. Well, I'll go, but I won't say anything to anybody and I won't get involved in anything. And he didn't. Hugging howdy time, he'd go back in the corner, stand away from everybody. Didn't want to get to know you. Didn't want you to get to know him. Am I right? I'm not exaggerating. And then one Sunday we had a message about getting out of your box, getting out of your comfort zone, doing something, just trying something. And as we left, he handed me a note and he said, "Well, Pastor, I just want you to see how I'm going to get out of my box this week." And on the card he had written where it says, "What I will do with this message," he said, "I will go to small group." But as he handed me that, he said, "But I will not say anything." Am I right? So we went to small group. Now, man, they host small group. And you can't get him to hush up. So we just talk over him. Come think of it, we talk over each other, don't we? Our small group, when we're all there, has 14. And we have at least 7 conversations all the time. But I'll tell you what. I do everything I can, and most of the group does too, to clear that every other Sunday for lunch. Because if at all possible, we want to be with each other. It strengthens our relationship and keeps our relationship strong. Fellow Christians help us strengthen our ties to those in the church and outside the church. We can together encourage and build each other up inside the body while praying for and challenging each other to reach out to those who don't know Christ. Together, we can encourage each other to stand faithfully as we return to the workplace and to school on Monday. Being in fellowship with other believers in biblical community gives us the courage to stand firm in our daily walk outside these church walls. There are days we desperately need a good hug to keep going. And there's no better hugging than what we have right here. Other days, we need a swift kick in the pants to get us back where we should be. And there are no more kinder, gentler people who will line up to kick you in the seat of your pants to get you back where you need to be. Friends who love God and who love us for who we are know exactly when we need each of those. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon writes, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted." That might hurt, but it leaves you saying, "I needed that." Thirdly, we fellowship with other believers to accomplish God's will on earth. As you read the accounts of Jesus calling His disciples at the beginning of His ministry, you just have to wonder about His recruitment style. What was His end goal? When you really just read over it, it kind of leaves you going, "Jesus, what were you thinking?" Since He is God, He could have easily walked down the beach and assembled an army of 12,000 men to overthrow the government. He could have called together 1,200 and given them amazing powers. But He did nothing of the sort. In fact, He didn't even call 120. Essentially, Jesus formed the very first small group. He launched His ministry with 12 men. He put together a tiny community of very diverse and, frankly, mostly unimpressive followers. Why? Because Jesus wasn't planning a coup or forming a cult. He was building a community. The fact that His original small group formed the church that still lives today says to me He chose wisely as He prepared a body of believers who would carry out His work, which swept through the known world after His ascension into heaven. If you were going to rescue a person who had fallen off a steep cliff, wouldn't you want to be tied to as many people up on the mountain as you could possibly find, supporting you, holding you, as you attempt the rescue, knowing that while you're trying to rescue this one, they're hanging on to you, ready to pull you back as well to safety? As we minister and reach out to those outside the community of faith, it's necessary to stay tethered together for optimum success and strength, lest we fall. Think about this. There are only two things you cannot do in heaven. We can have fun in heaven, and I think we will. Do you? You think you're going to be fun to be in heaven? Whew. We can relax in heaven. But there are two things you cannot do in heaven. One of them is you cannot sin. There will be no sin in heaven. There will be no temptation in heaven. And the other is, you cannot tell the good news to people who haven't heard it. Now, which of those two do you think God leaves us here on earth to do? We know He doesn't leave us here to sin. Jesus' prayer encouraged us to ask the Father not to lead us into temptation. We can find it on our own. Why doesn't God, the moment you say yes to Jesus, why doesn't He just take us to heaven? So we don't sin and don't have any more problems. Well, I think He leaves us here on earth for one purpose. He wants us to tell others. He wants us to pass it on. He wants us to be an example of the change in a man's life that Jesus can make. He wants us to be His witnesses, to make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them, and teaching them some more, to tell the good news so people can accept it and put their faith in Him too. What is the good news? Here's the good news. You're not an accident. Here's the good news. You were created in the image of God. Here's the good news. You were created to live forever. Here's the good news. God has a purpose for your life. Here's the good news. No matter what you've done, Jesus Christ paid for it all on the cross. Here's the good news. God loves you, and He has forgiveness and grace abundant for you. Here's the good news. God has a place for you in heaven, and whosoever will may come. Here's the good news. It's simple. He's done all the work for you. What you must do is the same as it's always been. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. That's the good news, and everybody needs to hear it. The Bible makes it clear through commands, promises, and examples that the Christian life was never intended to be lived alone. Those who have received Christ are now wired together with each other in their new spiritual DNA to live in community with one another. And it is such an incredible community. In His day, it included Jews and Gentiles who would come to Christ. It included slaves and free men who would come together in Christ. It included men and women who would come together in Christ. It included rich and poor. It included all those who would come to Christ. And no matter who, where, what, or why, you became one in community with Christ. We must have a band of believers totally surrendered to walk alongside us, all to help point each other in the same direction toward the Father. To properly define biblical community, look no further than the last five letters in that phrase, unity. That is both the point and the practice of biblical community. Bring us together as one. Christ's vision is that you will become an integral part of His grand body of believers, ushering in His kingdom around the globe by being grafted into the lives of a local body, making a difference right where you are. It's sort of a one for all and all for one battle cry. We're part of the church because we need community. We need support. And we need to remember the church is God's idea. I didn't start this church. This church wasn't started and 40 years ago. This church was founded on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said, He is the vine and we are the branches. If we are not connected to Him, we can't do anything. The Christian church was born on Pentecost when God gave the Holy Spirit to the disciples and 3,000 people believed the gospel message and were baptized. They were added to a community of faith that spent their time together. God connects us with one another in the church. May I tell you something else as we close? MCC, Muhammad Christian Church, is not your typical church. If you don't believe that, next time you go on vacation, wherever you're at, go to church. Find a good one, a big one, a small one, medium size. Good people. But you'll find quickly, it's not MCC. Doesn't mean we're better or we're right or whatever. Just we're unique. I think we are a unique fellowship of believers who love God, who love one another, and want to let God love others through us. We're too busy loving one another to fight with one another. We're too busy praying for one another to gossip about one another. And we're too busy with efforts to reach the lost to worry about being politically correct. For those of you who are a part of this body already, let me say thank you. Thank you for being a part of this biblical community and making her what she is today. And for those of you who are not, well, we invite you to consider it. It's a different kind of church. Loves God, loves one another, and wants to let God use us to love others through us. If you'd like to be a part of that fellowship, we invite you to come. Father God, You are perfect. And when You say upon this rock, Peter's confession, the foundation that Jesus is the Christ, that upon that rock You would build Your church, a church so strong, so powerful, and so on the move that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. You are telling us something about how You wanted Your church to be. That verse does not say that You'll build Your church and the onslaught of hell cannot prevail against our gates. It doesn't say that we're to build a wall and a gate and get behind it and stand our ground. It says that the gates of hell, that hell itself will be so afraid of the moving church of God that they will build walls and gates to stop us so we can't go any further in this world. And yet the church You are building will crash even through those. Father, help us to be a part where we are, to be a church on the move that is so totally surrendered, so in love with You, so committed to Your cause, so committed to one another, that together as one, in biblical community, biblical common unity, we will go where You send us. We will say what You tell us to say. We will do what You tell us to do. And we will be what You want us to be. And all along the way, we will give You our praise and thanks for a church like Muhammad Christian who helps each other along the way. Hugs and encouragement when we need them. Swift kicks in the pants and better teaching when we need it. And love always. In Jesus' name, amen. Our invitations for you and all your decisions. As we stand and as we sing, would you come?
Washed in the fountain.
Guys, come on over. Jeff's with us too. We have a wonderful family. Most of you know them. Some of you may not. Been worshiping with us for quite a while, involved in several areas of ministry, and they love our church, and those who know them love them as well. But John and Julie Griggle come this morning to place membership as immersed believers in Christ, and as a family, and with our pastor Jeff working with their son John. Little John, Big John. Little John, Big John, and Robin Hood. No, Maid Marian. Robin Hood, Maid Marian. And now, who's the good king? I don't want to be the bad king. King John? No, King John was the bad one, wasn't he? King Richard. We have the Robin Hood family here. But, I just want to be Sean Connery. Bond. David Bond. Doesn't sound the same, does it?
Can we get back to that?
Okay, back to that. Great, great folks. We love them. John and Julie Griggle come this morning as immersed believers in Christ to place their membership with us in the local church, having been added to the body of Christ as believers a long time ago and walking with Him for very faithfully for quite a while. And doing their best to raise their family, this one right here, in the admonition of the Lord. And I praise the Lord for that because together, the family, Jeff have the material and are studying to help him a little more with his decision of accepting Christ as Savior too. That won't be long. You keep praying for him. But this morning, I appreciate your coming as a family. Let me have your right hand of Christian fellowship here, guys. Throw it on in here, guys. On behalf of this local body, Muhammad Christian Church, that you are right in the middle of that word church, right? We're delighted to welcome you to this body. In identifying with this body as Christian believers and Christ followers, just share with us that good confession, if you would. Repeat after me. That I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and my Lord and Savior. And I know you all mean that. Thank you for being a part of this body. Thank you. Thank you. If you guys want to have a seat, grab your stuff. After we have our benediction, come on back up front. Let the family here greet you. I wanted to do that for a simple reason. I want you guys to know, Jeff and I are a team. That's how I view our ministry here. I don't have my ministry, and Pastor Jeff has his ministry, and I'm with these folks, and he's with those folks. We are in biblical community with this church and in biblical ministry with one another. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate this guy. So happy Valentine's Day to you, brother. I love you. Wouldn't want to do it with anybody else. Okay, I see you've got a microphone. You have something there?
I just checked a lot. Most of the wind has blown the snow off your car windows and stuff, but there's still spots out there with snow, so be careful walking through the parking lot and getting out of here.
Okay. Now, real quick, I have one announcement. All the others are in your bulletin. Please read those. There's a lot going on and a lot that you can be a part of. B, were we able to find one?
Maybe.
We made a snap decision this last week after having emailed the elders. And I know this is very short notice, but it's just happening, okay? You may or may not know that this coming Thursday is a pre-something. But this weekend, the new movie Risen is coming out in theaters across America, and it will be here in Champaign at the Carmack Theater. We went on and bought a number of tickets to form a group to take from the church and meet there for just to share that together. The group price on those tickets is $6.75 a piece, a little reduction from what the normal price is. The showing we're going to is next Sunday at 10 o'clock. No, I'm just kidding. No, they don't have enough seats for that time slot for y'all. Next Sunday afternoon at 1:30. That's plenty of time for us to finish church, grab a bite to eat, let the dog out, and then meet at the Carmack 13 Theater in Champaign. If you would like one of those tickets, I almost hate telling you this. We only have 23 left. But if you would like one or two of those tickets, please see me or Jeff so we can get your name. And we will double check tomorrow if we need more than that to see if we can. But we just have a few left. So if you would, let us know. If you're not familiar with Risen, it's a story after Christ rose from the dead of how panicked the Jewish priests and leaders were and how uncomfortable Pilate was to find out that Jesus' body was missing. And they have to find that body. If they don't, can you imagine how that would change the world? But it's urgent that they find this body that they believe the disciples must have stolen and hidden somewhere. And so they appoint this Roman soldier to be over a large group of folks and do whatever it takes. And you know, under Roman government, they do whatever they wanted to find that body so they can put this thing to rest. And it's the story of his journey of realizing, I'm not going to find that body. Why? Because as the angel said, he is not here. He has risen. Here's a short clip of that to kind of tease you some. Hold on.
I served the Roman Empire. I fought wars against those who did not believe in our gods. But nothing could prepare me for the truth that has now risen.
He was very special. They're fanatics.
What was his name?
He was called Yeshua.
The man's dead. His followers are in hiding.
He's still a threat.
Take control out there and finish things.
The tomb is sealed. Guard it with your life.
If this body vanishes,
we have a potential messiah.
Where has he gone? You tell me.
You will track down the corpse of Yeshua.
He's right here. Open your heart and see.
I don't know what to believe anymore.
We invite you to go see that with us. If you would like one of those tickets, yeah, we need to get your name on the list, and then you can include on your check Risen Movie 675, or what is that, 1350, a couple? Is that right? If you get a couple of them. Just be sure you clearly mark that. Or if you use the offering envelopes, there's a place that says Other. Put your amount there and indicate what that is, and just put it in with your regular offering. You don't have to pay us today. Is that right? Is that good? Okay, because it's on Jeff's card, not mine. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's not. Over at your place. Well, we could go to the Posen's. He's got a bunch of pulled pork ready. Because next Sunday is one of our small group meetings that we're giving up to go do this. I must tell you that there one of the trailers, and there are plenty of trailers. Go see all of them. It just really excites you. This is through the eyes of a non-believer. And at one point, one of the trailers has this guy being asked, "What scares you?" And he says, "Being wrong and staking eternity on it." It's pretty powerful. But we invite you to do that. All right, real quick, before we let you go, I want you to take a moment to share this silence with me. Biblical community, I don't want you to get the misimpression that all I think or that others think is that it's the church here in America. It's not. It's the worldwide body of believers and inclusive of believers all over the world. You may be shocked or happy both together to know there are 2.3 billion Christians worldwide. And while we spent this time together this morning in a heated sanctuary on padded pews with an abundance of Bibles in our pews, on our phones, and in our laps, with great songs and praise, openly sharing prayers and breaking bread together in communion, 6 Christian brothers and sisters were killed for their faith. 100,000 Christians are killed every year for their faith. Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world. Those are our brothers and sisters. 2/3 of that 2.3 billion believers in the world live in danger of death every day. While we were having worship, this group right here was killed. They won't be with us tomorrow. We need to give thanks for all the Lord has blessed us with as the Church of Christ here in America. And for all that Christ has given us as Muhammad Christian Church, we are unique and wonderful. But we also need to be praying for our brothers and sisters around the world who are not as fortunate. So before we dismiss you, would you bow with me in prayer and take a moment of silence? Give thanks for all of this. It's not wrong that we have been blessed like this. It's wrong that we ever take it for granted or don't appreciate it. Give thanks. And then lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. Father God, thank you for Muhammad Christian Church. Thank you for allowing me and each one here the opportunity to be a part of it. And thank you for your body worldwide. Those who every day